Do you have a heavy burden and sadness deep within? He can take away the darkness caused by the guilt of sin.
Jesus is the one,
lead you from the load of sin.
How have you grown in the knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ in your Christian life? Let us join together Pastor Saidi Chishimba as he preaches God's Word.
What a joy and great privilege to have this time to speak to you from God's Word. I thank the Lord for the administration of the school to have considered me that I may share God's Word with you. Let's pray and then we'll go to look at what the Lord has for us. Father, we do ask that you would speak to our hearts this moment. And we plead that, Lord, in your speaking to us, we may not just be hearers, but doers of that which you bring forth. And we further plead that, O God, you may grant us grace to be attentive and to cause this your scriptures to shape and change and expose our hearts to the truth. And cause us to turn around and go to walk like Christ did. Our Father, we pray that you would bless us with your word. But chiefly we ask that Christ be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were to pick a child who was born in the last 3 months, that's in January, you pick them right now and took some time to look at this child, you will notice that this child has grown. You will notice that there has been a change from how this child was in January to now. This is barely 3 months since January. That child would have probably started doing certain things, especially smiling. You would play around with their cheeks. They would probably smile. At 3 months, they've started identifying. They would tell, this is mom, this is dad, and this is a stranger. And they would refuse and would agree with certain people. Without a shadow of a doubt, it's very easy for all of us to conclude with very little evidence when we look at the child that there has been a measure of growth in this child. And in the last 3 months, we would again do a little bit of our mathematics, would conclude that that is only the first quarter of a year. And what we usually do most of the time is to evaluate things, life, business, and any other aspect of life by a year. At the end of the year, we try to evaluate and say, what did I achieve this year? What have I done? How far have I gone? How much have I grown? Personally, I do carry out that in every quarter and then on an annual basis. And so, in the last 2 days, I was evaluating myself and saying, in the last 3 months, how much have I grown? And what are those things that I have said I will do or have engaged my life to, and I have been doing, and what measure have I gathered so far? And so one of those things that I'm doing, and I know some of you are, is reading through the Bible once this year. And 2 days ago I was asking myself, I said, one quarter has come to pass. That's the first 3 months of a year. How much have I read the Bible? And so this afternoon, I would like to pose a few questions, about 9 questions, in relation to how much you have grown in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in the last 3 months, or in the first quarter of the year. Obviously, like we said, when we take a baby, we cannot categorically say on Monday she grew this much, on Tuesday this much, on Wednesday, Thursday, we wouldn't. But if we stretched it over time, we would have a sense of growth in that child. And that's exactly what I'm asking this afternoon, is for all of us to take some time and evaluate ourselves and ask this question, how much have I grown for the last 3 months? You could be in first year, so this is only amount of time you can use to measure your Christian faith while you're in college. But you could be more than a first year, second, third or so year. You could also use this time to say, how much have I grown in my Christian faith from the time I came into this college? How much impact has God's word or God's hand been upon me that I can say when I walk through that gate at CABC and today this is where the Lord has brought me? You know, many times when we come to an environment, there's always a tendency in us of being very antagonistic, in the sense that we would always want to treasure where we have come from. We've always want to treasure who we are, and when exposed in that new environment, we'd like to see who we are, what we are, what we have gathered, and the measure of us, and then bounce it versus the environment that we have gone into. But you know, as students, I would like to ask you to do this one thing. For a moment to say, it is not about who I have been, where I have come from. It is not what I have carried to bring in this college. It is simply from the time I entered this college, the amount of education that has been poured upon my life and the amount of exposition I've had, how much has it grown me? How much has it added to what I have been? How much has it undone who I have been, and now I am becoming this person? How much has growth been upon my heart? So would you turn with me to the book of Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. I would like to begin by firstly taking through a quick view of this passage, and then I will ask a series of questions that I expect you to answer in your heart. If you're writing, you can answer by writing your answer somewhere for your own review later on. 2 Peter and chapter 3 verse 18, the Bible reads, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." It is very interesting how the Apostle Peter closes this book. It seems to suggest to us that after he has carried out quite a large amount of teaching, he then culminates into this particular statement. And in this statement, he alludes to the fact that all that you have been learning and knowing and gathering should therefore bring this growth in your life. And basically he says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." But you'll also observe that we have just read the sentence from the middle. And so we do well to go back to verse 17 and see where it begins. And there he says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, be aware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." We would read it something like this for our learning this moment. "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Every organization, as I have said earlier on, has a calendar or runs a calendar that seems to identify the lifespan of a business. And at the beginning of that calendar, every company sets up goals and determinations and carries out some forecasts and expectations of their performance in that particular year. And at the end of the year, they evaluate themselves based on those set goals and objectives, and they give themselves a report. And that report suggests whether it has done well, that is, the company has done well or has not done well. In short, they assess their growth over a period of time. And so you find a company will draw a growth chart in which they will stipulate how they have grown. They will determine their growth based on the infrastructure, based on the production that has come forth from their products, based on how much they have gathered from the market, based on many other factors, how much now the capital investment has grown from barely being a million to ten thousands of millions and all. And so we would do the same, and we would be wise as Christians to carry out from time to time in intervals of our Christian life and check ourselves and say, how much have I grown? Because the Apostle Peter here admonishes us that there ought to be a consistent measure of growth in your Christian life. It ought to be measurable over a certain period of time. And he brings to our attention these two things. And he says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to focus only on one part of that verse. And that is simply, grow in the grace. Grow in the grace. Firstly, what is to grow? It is very important to understand that word grow. Now, I know we use it daily in our vocabulary and in our language all the time when we talk to people, when we relate to a number of things. We use the word grow and growth or growing. And somehow, without much dedicated thought to the word, we understand what we are simply talking about. And so, from that context, it seems not to be a very hard work to bring to understanding this word grow. What the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter here is bringing to attention is simply increase in the grace. Increase in the grace. The idea of increase or to grow is simply to enlarge in stature by natural or unnoticeable addition. Either in material things or immaterial things, there is that increase in the nature or stature of that particular item. For example, plants grow. If we plant a seed today, I noticed at the church grounds, the seeds from those flamboyant trees had fallen a few months ago. And the other day as I walked, I noticed one little plant is growing. When I passed by on Monday, it was barely 1 inch, close to half or quarter of my finger. When I passed through yesterday, I noticed it had grown to this height. I cannot say that I observed the growth, but from the time I passed through, over a period of 4 days, I could measure the growth. And in 4 days, it has moved from here to that place. But when we come to this idea of growth, not only in spiritual matters, but even in physical and everything else that grows, this is one thing the psalmist says, that is in Psalm 104, verse 14. I'll read it to you. He says, He, God, causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth. So from that verse in Psalm 104, we understand clearly that the principle is simply this. Every growth is caused by God. There is God behind growth going on. When you look at the trees and all the other things that are before us that are naturally growing, it is not because there is something in them that is causing them to grow. Of course there is something in them that is growing. But ultimately, Psalms tells us that he who causes growth is who? God. And therefore, even in our Christian lives, he who causes this growth is God. And particularly, we understand that it is God the Holy Spirit who carries us through the work of what? Sanctification. Secondly, when that word is used figuratively, and which seems to align with what the passage is talking about, when that word growth is used figuratively, it means to advance or to change or to improve. It means that there is a sense in which we can see whatever has been set forth to move from one place to another. There is growth that can be seen in a student who is in the first year compared to the one who is now in fourth year. He has not grown like a plant out there, but with that word used in that figurative sense, we denote that he has moved from this place of knowledge and information to the next. The young man is growing in reputation. Obviously, we know that the word growing there is used figuratively. It is simply saying that in his reputation, there is a sense in which the way he appeared perhaps immature before and the way he was known today is different. Yesterday is different from where he is today. His character has matured than before. He has grown more skillfully or has become more skillful. He has advanced in the field of practice. And so that is how that word may be used figuratively. Furthermore, it would mean that what we can see happening in the physical right now, depicts what is happening in another form. This is what I mean, particularly spiritually. Physically, we can say the grass is growing. We understand in the measure of it. But using the same word figuratively, it would depict a certain movement in an area spiritually. So if we say he has spiritually grown, we are definitely talking about somebody who has advanced, or something has happened in spiritual life that now he's at a different place as he was before. The Apostle Peter, further in chapter 2, verse 2 of 1 Peter, he gives an illustration. And in his illustration, he says, like newborn infants. Like newborn infants. What does he do by using that phrase? He already shows us what's in the physical. And he said, like a newborn baby, what should happen therefore in the spiritual? What's going on in the physical should depict what he's about to say going on in the spiritual. He says, like newborn infants, physical, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation. Did you hear that? Okay, so what's going on in the physical, he says, this is ought to be in like sense going on in the spiritual. They ought to be that longing a baby has for the milk, you also have for spiritual growth. So that you may grow in what? You may grow up to salvation. Of course, they are already saved, but he says you may grow up to salvation. Therefore, Peter is instructing his audience, or those that get to receive this message, which is including us this time, that they become stable. They become steadfast. They must be advancing. They must be improving or changing. They must be growing from one state of their spiritual life to another level. They ought to be that growth that should be going on. And that is what he emphasizes as he brings this closing statement. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to our text, Peter identifies two things, as I earlier on said. He says, grow in what? In grace, and grow in knowledge. But let me just focus on the word grace now. But grow in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What is here being referred to when he uses this word grace? When he says grow in grace. Generally, when we think of the word grace in relation to the Christian faith, we basically are talking about the very Christian faith. Generally, the word grace is used to denote what God has done, the unmerited favor that has been extended to us through the gospel, through the life and person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity in general is often represented as grace. It is all of what? Grace of God. And that is in relation to man. When we look at the great passage of John 3:16, where he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In that is explained to us how God exercised his love to us through his Son. In that whole passage we observe that God demonstrated this love, and which is the grace of God extended to us through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, to grow in grace is to simply increase in that which constitutes true Christianity. To grow in grace is simply to increase in that which constitutes true Christianity. I know we would love to use physical things to denote that we have grown. For example, many times people ask this question, how is your church doing? Oh, we are doing fine. Have you grown? Well, we are growing. Guess what's the next question? How many people? Okay. So there's always a sense in which people want to measure the growth of a church by what? By numbers. Well, we forgive such people, one, because there is probably maturity in understanding what denotes or what constitutes Christian growth. That's firstly. Secondly, perhaps they have learned that growth should be determined by numbers. But the point is not that. True growth in grace are those things that constitute the Christian truth. Are those things that we perhaps will not measure with our naked eyes. I shouldn't come to a church just because it's flooded with people. By just appearing on site, I'll say, wow, you people have really grown spiritually. I think you would disagree with me. Because if that is the case, then the biggest growing Christian faith, or Christians who are so mature, are the Catholics, because they are large in number. But there is more than that. Peter sees Christianity as a valuable of cultivation and of growth, as any other virtue of the soul. When he brings the idea of growth here, he is bringing to our attention that this aspect of the Christian faith has the idea of cultivating it, has the idea of causing it to have a certain measure of increase. Like a baby is weak in its beginning, like a seed of maize is useless when we see it seated on the table, but yet when they are cultivated, they increase. They gain stature. They come to a certain level. In relation to our Christianity, therefore, there is no stable today, there is no stable standing believer in the world who can tell you that they've arrived at that place without the work of cultivating their faith. Everybody who stands and who is strong and who is walking faithful and looks mature in their Christian faith, dear friends, it is because they have spent quality time cultivating their spiritual life. There has been a work. There is no measure of degree or growth in the Christian faith that just comes just like that. There's a great concern today about our Christian faith. That today many people don't want to take time to cultivate their Christianity, but they want to become microwave Christians. You know microwave Christians? We just want to attend church service, and after we've attended church service, we've had a wonderful time of singing and all the activities of a church service that have gone on. Then we leave church feeling grown. Microwave Christianity. We want to be exposed to one sermon or two, and by that exposure think we have grown. We want to walk through the gates of a Bible college. By just walking through the gates of a Bible college, we think we have grown. But you see, the Christian faith is not about microwave Christianity. It is about a personal cultivation going on that will, in time, give us valuable measurement of growth. When we were driving back from Lusaka a few days ago, a friend I was with in the car said, you know, when I was growing up in the village, one of the most loved time of farming to me was when we are going to till the ground. I hate weeding. And so when weeding time comes, I had all the excuses so that I don't go to the farm to do weeding. The next time I hated was harvests. And I said, well, I think for me, I've always been told, if you want to go to the village, go during harvest time. And he says, no, the reason I hate it is because there's just too much to harvest. And there's so much work carrying all those maize, sweet potatoes and pumpkins all the way from the farm, taking them home. That work is tiresome. And so through that little talk, he gave me a picture of one who was once engaged in the cultivation of a farm and was able to see the results of that. No one becomes strong in the faith who does not intend to. No one becomes strong in the faith who does not intend to. You become learned or rich because you intend to. You work towards that. Therefore, you will never grow in your faith if you do not intend to and then cultivate that period of your growth. If you don't engage yourselves in those things, don't be surprised that your growth will be very minimal. Perhaps you will be stunted. I remember some years back, a dear brother who once visited was talking and said, you know, the last time I visited, this brother was here. I have come after such a measure of time, he's still there. Is this brother growing? And I asked myself the same question. That every time a year elapses, every time a period of time elapses, has there been a measure of growth in my Christian life? Or have I been pursuing the microwave Christianity by being in church, by being around for fellowship, by doing a certain few things that seems to be keeping me in the Christian faith, then I assume I am growing. Just quick scripture, Ephesians 4:15 says, "But speak the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ." Colossians 1:10 says, "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." 1 Thessalonians 4:1 says, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God." And we see the Apostle Paul again, just like Peter, continuing to emphasize this idea of growing in grace, and also this very idea that those who grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ take responsibility to abound, to walk worthy, to grow up, to increase. And all those phrases denote the responsibility of cultivation. Are you cultivating your growth? In the last 3 months, has there been that committed cultivation that today you can say, "Well, I have seen my growth in the Lord"? Having said those two things, firstly, the idea of growing, and secondly, the idea of grace, which is those that constitute the Christian faith, the idea of cultivating these things. I want to therefore ask this question one after the other and hope you will answer them. Number one, ask yourself this question: have I grown in my relationship with God thus far this year? Have I grown? Not what people have said, but have I grown? Can I sit down and say, "Lord, I thank you. January, I walked into this place, I was like this. Wow. Now I perceive life this way. Now I perceive this doctrine this way. Now I comprehend these things this way." Have I grown in that sense? Secondly, have I grown in my church attendance and fellowship with the saints? Now, when I use that phrase, attendance, of course you're saying, "Now, there we go, you're using elements that can be counted." What I simply mean by church attendance is simply to have that inner desire, joy, burden, longing to be gathered in a place where the Word of God is being taught, where believers have come together and are engaged in these practical elements of worship. Has there been that growth? Before I became a Christian, I've shared this before, one of the places I hated the most was the church. And so my mother would force me to go to church, and would go to church, and while in church, the pastor would say, "Let's pray." And I made sure I sat near the windows. And the moment the pastor says, "Let's pray," or whoever is leading, everybody bows down. My mother made sure she sat behind so that she could see, watch us with my older brother. But the moment they say, "Let's pray," I'll jump out of the window. We had open windows, okay? So I'd sneak out, climb, and jump out. And I thought I was a hero. That when my mother woke up, "Where's this boy?" Asked the ushers, we didn't see him go out. So to me, that was exciting. When I became a Christian, I realized that was foolishness. But God was still very gracious. And so, from that time, you find that there has been, therefore, a different attitude towards this called church life. Thirdly, have I grown in my prayer life? Meaning, in my communion with God. In my one-on-one with my Lord. Forget the world around me. Assume the world is simply God and I. Assume that the earth was only filled with one man, Adam, and that Adam is you. Has there been that love for your communion with God? Has there been that growth that when God calls in the cool of the morning, "Where are you?" you jump out and say, "Here I am, Lord," and you commune with Him like a friend with a friend. Is there a measurable in your own life? Can you measure that and say, well, my love for God in prayer has increased? Number four, have I grown in my personal devotion and study of the Word? Do I have just this wonderful desire in my heart, like a deer pants for the water brook, so my soul longs after you, O Lord? Do I wake up during the day, during the evening, whatever time it's posed to me, want to run to the Scriptures and give it quality time of understanding, learning from the Lord, and willing to go out and perhaps share if given an opportunity? But even if there's no opportunity to share, just rejoice that it has changed and has an impact on my walk. Number five, have I grown in my area of ministry? Whether I'm a member or not a member of a church, have I identified which area that the Lord seeks me to serve Him while I'm still in school? And have I been pursuing in that area to ensure that I am serving the Lord in that area? And from the time I came, I saw my downside of my service to the Lord. Now I see that increased passion towards that. When I'm posted, I look forward if this ministry exists in that church. If it doesn't, I want to see it kick off. If it does, I want to participate and serve the Lord in that area. Number six, have I grown away from my sinful habits? Have I grown away, not towards, but grown away? There was a time when I had this sin, and every time I was troubled with it, and every time I would do it and I'll fall in it and I'll stand up and say, Lord, forgive me, have mercy. But sooner or later, before the day goes, again I plunge myself in there. But after this period, when I assess in relation to that habit in my life, have I grown away from it? Can I smile and say, that sin? Let me be a little bit practical. Perhaps one or two here, you have had a life of drinking alcohol before, or smoking. And after you became a Christian, you realized that was a sin and you decided to stop. And most of the time, those who had such experiences, some, it's a radical stopping, right? There are those who become saved today and they don't want to smoke, they don't want to drink, and they see it as dung and they run away. But there are some whom it comes like a besetting sin, okay? And you find they fall into it. But as years passed, are the experiences the same now? Or you can look back and say, you know, I used to be a drunkard, but thank God I'm saved. Or you can say, you know, I used to be a drunkard, but the brown bottle just has a way of hammering me, I fall again. But have you grown away from those habitual sins? And last two, have I grown to the point that I am now pouring out my life in others? Am I grown to the point that now I can share the faith in me with other Christians? In short, have I grown that I'm able, easily choosing to disciple others? Am I taking up somebody before with me and share the gospel? And see them also grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, have I grown in leading either my family, if I am married, either my roommate, either my closest friend? Have I grown to the point that either my family, my friend, my roommate, when they see me, and this is a very interesting aspect of growth, and I end here, if they look into my life, it causes them to be amazed with what God is doing, but not only just to remain at being amazed, but causes them to want to follow God even the more. Ever had such people in your life where you watch their Christian faith? It doesn't leave you amazed and say, wow, but it leaves you amazed and at the same time saying, God, me as well. Have you grown to that measure? Are you working on your walk with the Lord to the point that people don't just watch you and admire you, but they watch you and be amazed with what God is doing? They see Christ in you and they turn around and they pursue Christ as well. Are you doing that to your fellow believer? Evaluate your growth. See perhaps the phrase that Peter has brought to us is real in your life. And if not, intend to and begin to cultivate towards this idea that you grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And pursue that even before the semester ends. That when you close and go back home, you will have a measure of growth in you that will be poured out to the church and the brothers and sisters and the families that will be around you. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you and we bless your name for your word. And how that, Lord, you would take the natural things that are before us, that we behold with our eyes and touch with our hands, and are able to estimate or assess how that you have moved them by increasing them from one place to another. The grass, the trees, and all these things around us. But yet, Lord, you use your word then to show us that in like so, our hearts should be. And so, Lord, we pray this hour that may there be a deliberate desire and intention in us to want to see the words of Peter be real in us. That we have learned Christ in this sense, that we may be steadfast and grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, cause growth in this college. Cause growth in these students. Cause growth, Lord, in all of us. That Christ alone may be exalted, both by ourselves and those who watch our lives. We praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a sermon by Pastor Saidi Chishimba during Chapel Hour at Central Africa Baptist College. Remember, Central Africa Baptist College, training the next generation of servant leaders in Africa for Great Commission living.